Hey there, Westworld fans. We are talking about Westworld Season 2, Episode 8, Kiksua, which means remember. So remember to stay tuned. We're talking about it right now. Here we go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, hello. Welcome, everybody, to the AfterBuzz TV Westworld After Show. We are talking about Westworld Season 2, Episode 8, Kiksuya. I am your host, Elena Jordan, and you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl.
Hey, everybody. I'm Alice Ford.
And hey there, Carrie Lane.
And Nate Miller.
So let's dive into this episode. This was kind of one of the more digestible episodes, I would say, because it's all pretty linear. We don't have any kind of question of where it takes place story-wise. And it's all kind of told through one narrative. Overall, what were your first impressions?
It was cool. It was nice to see a lot of loose ends from season one kind of tied up and explained. I thought it was really powerful emotionally. I found myself attached to a character that I haven't really seen at all in the show. And it looked great. I think this is one of the better looking episodes also.
It was a nice change of pace too, because it's not a story we knew yet. And so that was kind of nice to hear about the world from a completely different perspective and how that character became awake and how that radiated outward too, and how their process of coming to it was different than Maeve's or Dolores. So that was fun to see.
Yeah, I think it was really interesting to see, as you said, like a lot of these unanswered questions that we've always had. Kind of, we found out a lot of stuff about the mesh network and the symbol, because I think, you know, in season one, we were all like, oh, Ford is the one spreading the symbol. And especially after listening to William and all of his rants, we're always like, you know, he's always like, it's Ford. Ford's leaving us clues. And obviously that's not the case. And I love that scene near the end where you see Ford and Aki like interacting. And that answered some more questions. So I think we got a lot of kind of unanswered questions, which I really enjoyed. And as you said, the emotional, I think I almost cried when he saw his long lost love and the
when he had to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah. And learning, like, no, you're not really getting them back. But then I'm like, no, you just need the tablet. You can turn them back on. But in a way, it was him moving forward, himself saying, like, it is who he is, but he has a bigger purpose that he needs to get to.
I was waiting for him to, like, because he's in distress, access like the mesh network and like psychically wake her up. I was like, is that what's gonna happen? But that's not.
I know. I was hoping for that too.
I figured that he wasn't. I thought that it was just gonna be what it was just this heart wrenching, like, wake up. Mm-hmm. But it's like, oh, you're just the shell of the person that I loved, and just this heart wrenching moment of knowing that you feel that there's this consciousness, but feeling that it's been stripped away by these other people. This was a really, really cool episode. I really, really liked this one. Now, it kicked off first with the man in black crawling through, where kind of willing himself not to die.
Yeah.
Not dead yet. I'm still alive, still awake. And look, I love too that this was all in Lakota, but it was all the subtitles, kind of like episode 6, like the samurai episode. Mm-hmm. I love the subtitle episodes. I feel like because they know that they're subtitles, everything else is a little bit more cohesive. Maybe it's just me that feels that way, but I feel like anytime they have a subtitle episode, they're like, everything will be a little bit more linear.
I just wonder if William is ever gonna die. I mean,
I feel at some point, but I feel like Maeve's gotta be the one who pulls the trigger. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe,
for
I don't
sure.
know. We'll save that for predictions. but this was kind of an interesting one because, of course, this is all told through Akachida's perspective. But we see Emily later on in this episode because we see him, of course, talking to Maeve's daughter, kind of explaining his scenario and the scenario of how he was trying to protect her and how he was not able to from the man in black. And then ultimately having Emily show up and saying, he is my burden alone to bear. What did you guys take from that scene? How did you feel seeing her take him and her saying, basically, I know you want to make him suffer, but I'm going to make him suffer in my way, and it's going to be much worse. What do you guys think that she meant by that? What do you...
I don't know about in terms of thinking of it that way, but I think they were okay with it because in saying it's her father, they can respect that of like, oh, it's your family, you deal with it. And could tell that she means business. It's not going to be like, oh yeah, we're going to be peachy keen and everything. Well, this goes back to our theory. Some people had suggested he was a host or not, and whatever revenge or punishment she wants on him, I think this is her, like, no, I need to take charge of it. Like, it's her... It's interesting to say her burden, though, too.
But, I mean, I kind of believe that William is a host, but just because, like, all of season one and then even this season, it's like, he just never dies.
He did accuse Emily, well, though, of being a host, and we see Emily test the other character when she's first introduced a couple episodes ago, but we still don't know if she's a host or not.
I don't know that he's necessarily a full-on host, but, like, what he did with Delos, like, maybe he's... Maybe he died in a previous...
But they said that the technology doesn't work. They haven't gotten it to work.
I feel like William isn't a host. I feel like it's possible that Emily could be, though. I don't know.
Yeah. We do have a live chat going. Thank you for everybody who's talking. The live chat. So, no, I saw a couple good quotes. I'm like, segue. Yeah. And if you're watching later, please comment down below. Everybody does have awesome comments that we always love reading through. So right now, Kevin in the chat says she is not over her mom's death, as she said. So that could be her wanting to, you know, get him. Davey says, I really want to know Emily, what Emily's endgame is. And then, yeah, Lisa says, I love this episode. And then a lot of people are also talking about who killed Logan. Because we saw him, but no body, no proof. Like, we didn't see the body die.
We don't know he's dead. We just know that he's naked and strapped to a pole and going crazy.
Well, we talked about when we were watching that somebody mentioned like he OD'd at the party. But again, no body, no proof. That could be like, yeah, he did.
William,
as I murdered him.
William tells Jim Delos
that he OD'd.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
You can question it.
He doesn't necessarily say that he dies.
You can question it like you can question everything in this show, but they've given us plenty of evidence to believe that that's what happened. We saw him tripping out on drugs when he got saved back from the first time.
Yeah.
So it's very likely that he's just dead from OD.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
It would make sense.
Yes. I've said this in an earlier episode we covered. There's so many questions that they present to you that are important that you have to be careful about the questions that you start asking about things that don't necessarily really matter.
Yeah.
Start going off the wrong tangents and start leading yourself down your own cryptic William path.
Definitely with this season, they've thrown red herrings in to try to draw your attention from what's really going on. But I don't think Logan's death is one of them.
Also, a couple people in the chat are pointing out Westworld security sucks at this point, too.
Yeah.
And they are not sure about Logan. They're like, well, so I don't know. I guess we're going to find out.
No, I think Logan's definitely dead. I agree. Yeah, he definitely died.
Yeah.
Now, if you guys want to also let us know your theories and maybe go back and check out some other episodes, kind of relive some of these now that we know a little bit more, be sure to subscribe on iTunes. We have tons of shows as well in addition to Westworld, so subscribe to all of them. We got hundreds and hundreds of them. Like, comment, give us that thumbs up. Also, be sure to follow us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and keep the discussion going on Twitter. Now, kind of the opposite of the Emily William father and daughter dynamic, going to more of a loving mother-daughter dynamic, going to Maeve, who we see only briefly in this episode, but brilliantly intercut and perfect moments when Aki's talking about certain things and kind of how it ties into all of these different characters awakening. And then Lee, kind of one telling her that he feels that she deserves better than the fates have given her, and that if she is to die here, that she, you know, deserved to have her daughter. She deserved to be a mother. She deserved to teach her these lessons and to have all of these experiences. And we see this moment of humanity that's brief, but at this point is you know, a pretty big shift that we've seen from him previously saying that your daughter is just a concept that was created but isn't real. How did you guys feel about seeing Maeve in here? Not as much as we may have anticipated seeing her this episode.
She has such a short scene at the end that has so much emotion, but like she barely says anything. But I think she did an amazing job because you still felt like the emotion of her reacting to what she's being told and then responding. And so she isn't her normal badass self doing stuff, but I thought this was kind of a more interesting change of pace then, because then we see her in a different light instead of the same thing. But because she's still, you know, holding on, she's not dead yet.
Well, and I think it opens a lot of questions, too, about just how interconnected the mesh network is. Mm-hmm. Because obviously she repeats a phrase that Aki's lover said to him. So, but she's supposed to be asleep in the basement. So,
well,
I mean, is that something that she's remembering from him?
Okay, yeah. That whole story he was telling to her. When he speaks in English is when he's speaking to the little girl. When he's speaking in Lakota, he's talking to Maeve the entire time. That's why we're getting the cutbacks and we're seeing her, because he's talking to her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why there's the cuts, the edits, where you see like the light in Maeve's eyes and then you see like a light in the daughter's eyes. That's what that reveal at the end
Which
means.
Is
that,
why I think it's called she gets Kiksuya, the remember, is because it's kind of saying, you know, remember this moment, remember that hope.
Yeah, I mean, I think memory is overall a very big theme for this episode, because we see Akechita fighting to remember, you know, over years searching to get his memory back, to get his old life back every time that he gets this awakening. So I think there's a lot of levels to the name, as there always is.
And I'm also talking about how he's fearful of death, not necessarily for dying, but for the fear of losing that memory.
Right. Well, he figures out after he wakes up the second time that I knew all this stuff before, but once I died, that's when I lost it. So now I can't die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Building on what we said of Maeve's acting, Trizzy May in the chat says, last week we talked about Abernathy's facial reactions and acting, and this episode, Newton nailed it. Great face acting. Yeah, because she doesn't have a lot of dialogue or anything. She just has the line at the end. But you just feel for it. And I think, like how you were touching upon, of like her hearing the story, that makes sense of like, oh, that's why we keep seeing her and her reacting to it, even though she's not saying anything.
I think that is a pretty brilliant way to tell this story as well, is to have the two different languages kind of signifying where he's speaking and kind of the duality of the two conversations simultaneously and how that really works with the mesh network and her ability to not only communicate but give commands, and in this case to truly have a deep conversation. Yeah. It's not just a command scenario. It's where he says, I'm not the only one who is awake. There's more and more of us. We're all starting to gain this consciousness and then in tune an also collective consciousness. So it's more than even what Charlotte and the technician are talking about, where they're saying, kind of talking about Maeve's power is to be able to give these directives and these kind of commands to different people. Is we're seeing it's even on a deeper level than that. It's that she's triggering true philosophical ideas in the brains of these characters.
Well, we saw also in that tribe, the other woman became awoken separately because it was her child. Yes. So it's someone who's close to you. It definitely seems like if someone close to you is the one who's gone. So
I want to be careful with there's different, I think part of the thing that this show has been trying to tell us is there's different levels awokenness, right? So her acknowledging that something's
not off.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think even Akechita, that's part of what he's talking about when he says, I had to go on that journey, is that it's more than just knowing something's wrong. It's then figuring it out. What is that other voice?
She's
what is that
back there in my mind?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it's a process.
Mm-hmm. Which he ends up fighting. Now this, I felt like, to me, we've seen some kind of, we know that there's a lot of philosophical ideas that they've taken kind of direct parallels from, a lot of Kierkegaardian things, very nihilistic. We've seen a lot of kind of Sartre elements with Dolores of kind of creating your own sense of meaning in life and finding meaning in meaninglessness. But this one I felt like was just straight up Plato's Parable of the Cave. Of Akechita kind of discovering this consciousness and then actually going to the ends of his earth and seeing what he sees as the door that is then later covered up by the desert. What did you guys feel about his storyline in this one and his kind of awakening and then him going to try to lead his people, but then finding more and more of his family members being replaced, as he says? Did you feel that this was a storyline that you were expecting with this character, or was this kind of something that you were surprised to see from him, this level of depth and this kind of philosophical ideal that was delved into this episode.
I don't know if I'd go with surprise, but it was very pleasant change of pace with that character, because also with the Ghost Nation, we don't get much about them, and it's the very, like, cliche image of these warriors, and, you know, then we finally, they get depth, and, you know, like, no, they're humanizing them, which was, yeah, again, very enjoyable to watch.
I was definitely surprised that he survived for that length of time.
Yes.
That's the only thing that shocked me. I was like, whoa, 9 years. That's a long time.
And no updates.
Almost a decade in Westworld.
Yeah. And I found it interesting, too, that he remembered the change in his programming that he had when they made him more violent, like, years before.
Mm-hmm. And how he was able to kind of latch on to that, use that to play the part to not to kind of avoid his updates. Yeah. Much like my busted old Mac computer. Now, this was kind of a cool one, too, because kind of talking about the stereotypical ideas of the Ghost Nation, this really explored the idea of the concept of ghosts, where he's talking about how he keeps calling the characters that he feels were replaced as ghosts. What did you guys feel that was in reference to? Do you think that this was kind of just humanizing these characters more? Do you think there was more depth to it than that, or...?
I think it's just, we see this often, that older civilizations, when they encounter something they don't understand, they chalk it up to some type of superstition. So I think that's all it was. Just like them making the doll in season one of the Others, and it's just a dude in a hazmat suit, but they don't know that. It's like a god to them, right? So I think it's just, that's just that.
Yeah, the woman said the people down below, because they know they come up from the ground.
Yeah, but it definitely, like, I mean, it definitely humanizes the whole story, I think, and makes it, you know, you relate it more to, like, you know, our own history of, you know, people on this planet, I guess, and not robots.
People being replaced by other people.
Well, also because aliens, the Ghost Nation, too, seems to be the ones that are the most, how they feel replaceable, and they kind of switch them out, almost like, you know.
Body snatchers, hello.
Well, I think that it's kind of a cool thing that they touch on this one, is the stereotypical idea of, like, the cowboys and Indians and the good guys and bad guys and being intrinsically bad because that's what the story is dictated for you. And this kind of showing the parallel of that and how that isn't the case at all, where he's saying, you know, I've been watching you to protect you.
Right.
And even though somebody else was watching and I wasn't able to always protect you, I thought it was kind of cool how they were able to flip the story and kind of flip the narrative and really explore that more. So it was not only the Ghost Nation as the title, but also the ones that are replaced and are seen as not having this intrinsic emotional connection that we then see in the characters that ironically were previously replaced. Yeah. So and then his moment I loved of him kind of realizing how everything was bigger than himself, and that his heartache was his, but that everybody else, whether they were aware of it or not, was mourning this character, or at least one of the characters in there. How did you guys feel in that moment? That one, that got me.
Well, he said before, like earlier on in the episode, you know, I can feel like, well, he talked about like the feeling of like not being able to hurt like the others, meaning like the humans. And then, you know, he kind of mentioned also like he could feel like a loss, but he didn't know what it was for. So I thought that was a good explanation.
Yeah, it was interesting. I wasn't expecting him to be so selfless in that, especially in that emotional moment, but I think that definitely was another step for him in his awokenness and kind of seeing the bigger picture for how things are. I am not happy with him just walking around and nobody finding him at all.
Right.
Like,
we're talking about them. They have trackers.
Come
they know
on.
Where all of them are at all times. Ish. Well, some of them.
I mean, if he's been there for a decade,
Elsie,
I think
they
that's
found
how
the one
they're
guy in the middle of nowhere. They're like, man, that person's off their course.
That's true, but if
and
this is somebody who had his first update in 10 years, you can argue that this is one that maybe doesn't have that GPS capabilities, that this is one that they would have, because he's an Alpha B, like that they would say like he needs to be, or I'm sorry, an Alpha 2, that he needs to just be replaced, but because he was sent back out, could be the reason he doesn't have GPS.
Well, I don't think they're always looking. It seems like they can find you if they look for you.
And he's
kind of a main character anyway.
I would imagine.
And going off of the Ghost Nation thing, they're just not really characters that they see as being three-dimensional, which is kind of playing into their own stereotype, is that he's able to spread his message that way.
I think it's like a... like how they find cell phones, where like they ping towers and then they find like they get a response close to that. I don't think they literally have trackers in each of them, because I think I don't know, I have to go back and rewatch, don't quote me on this, but I feel like a lot of this, the
we have to triangulate things, each right, of those.
A lot of the things in the show would have happened much quicker if they could just where everybody was.
Totally, I think.
That's true. And it is a very large scale map too. Like, we have approximations, but it's just like kind of getting coordinates where you would go to that area, but unless you're going to the exact location, you have to kind of search a little bit.
I just keep thinking, how big is the island? That's what I want to know.
Apparently, really big, man.
I know.
It's got six parks, so.
But still, if you had one direction, you know.
If you hit an edge, it's just going to be water. So then what makes
it... But then that would be exciting of, like, they have found it, and then you...
But it's just going to be so, the beach.
It's not like you look around and you can see, whoa, I can see that. Like, it would be so big.
It would be a trip for them.
I don't think they even know what the ocean is, too.
But I have a feeling that the parks that are on the ocean side have some type of a beach theme to them.
Yeah. Maybe. Because we've seen the beach already. Yeah, so we know that it's an established thing. Right. Like, we know that it's...
Well, that beach we saw was at the Valley Beyond, because it's a beach now, because it's filled with water. So it's not like ocean beach.
Oh, right. That's they filled true. It with
like
water.
The
You're right. It's not.
Yeah. Right. So where is the ocean?
Filled. Well, I mean, it seems like the edge of all of them, because it is an island. It's.
Yeah.
I mean, so there has to be.
Unless Westworld's right in the middle. And then it's five parks around it.
Question on locating or suggestion. ABK88 says, could Ford be letting him fly under the radar? Like, make some adjustments.
Well, I mean, yes, we see that later.
Yeah, maybe. So that might be a reason why nobody's picked up on him and been like, hey, wait.
I mean, sure, we could say that Ford allowed, like, mess with the security cameras so that nobody saw him walking around, but...
I feel like it's just nobody's interested. I feel like people just don't expect anything from this character. How does he know where cold storage is? Right?
How does he know how to use the elevator?
He doesn't use the elevator. He uses the escalator.
How does he know where cold storage is?
He doesn't. Yeah. He's exploring.
He just kind of explores.
But he just happens.
He's randomly walking around.
All right. I'm gonna give him a pass.
It was calling to him.
But the problem is, like, if this was older, like if this was in the earlier flashback of Westworld scene, I don't know. They still, when you see him walking around, the logos are the old logos, so it's still like. It could be an older time where maybe there aren't as many employees, I guess.
It is, but at the same time,
we've talked about this before. There's so many hallways and they have glass windows and shit happens all the time and nobody ever notices.
But it's not like he's even walking around in like Western clothes. He's like in full on Nick Knight. Like, somebody
Nobody's like, oh, that's Steve, the Native American who wears full garb every time he comes to work and stands by the water cooler. It's like, that's obviously something gone awry.
Nah, season one happens so often, like random people walking around or something going down, and you're like, nobody noticed? You have glass everywhere and nobody can see it. But
I don't know. Well, I guess it'd be a much more boring narrative, I suppose, if they were like, then immediately everyone was caught and returned to their proper place and nothing happened and it was fine. And everyone enjoyed their park experience. Yeah. but yeah, I thought this was a pretty interesting one. Now, in Plato's Parable of the Cave, they explored this a little bit in this, where the character goes, leaves the cave, sees the actual things that are not just the shadows that everybody has seen, and is met with some resentment, which we see a little bit here when he's trying to spread the maze everywhere. But do you think as he goes further and is trying to spread this idea, this consciousness, this collective awareness, that there is an end to their earth, basically, and what he keeps saying is that there are multiple worlds and we're in the wrong one, we need to go, this is a big idea for him to be bringing to all of these different hosts. Do you think that he's going to have some blowback from these hosts, or do you think that this is going to be an idea that they all kind of hop on board with pretty easily?
I mean, we see his... tribe. He says that the tribe's been growing slowly and slowly. We don't see anybody offer any type of pushback. The one dude is like, yeah, carve it into my scalp. So it seems to be pretty openly accepted.
Either it'd be a slow, like, okay, sure, nobody, or they'd just be like, I don't believe you, and go on about their business.
For sure.
Now, we've also seen, too, Ford continuously telling William, or the man in black, as we see him, as that the game is not for him. And he keeps seeing all the mazes, as you pointed out, that he thought that it was Ford spreading this message when it was not. Do you think now that we're getting a little bit more of the backstory of where these are coming from, do you think that this is an idea that's outside of Ford? Or do you think he's still kind of pulling the strings here? Do you think he's orchestrating this? Is this all part of a master plan? Or have things kind of gone off the rails at this point?
You mean like the Ghost Nation Awakening?
Yes, like everybody
I mean, he says that it's like a flower that grew out of the darkness. This is, he did not expect it to happen.
He was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, he did it on its own. So,
but he also says at the next, whatever he says, death party. That's not right. But
he says when the Deathbringer comes for me,
yeah,
that will be your chance to get out.
To gather your tribe and to...
Yeah, I think it's just like a happy coincidence. He's kind of working on sentience and an AI revolution on one hand, and then on the other hand, it just kind of falls into his hand happening already on its own. And so instead of touching it and stopping it, he just goes, all right, cool, just go do your thing, and when this happens, you know. And I find it interesting that he says the Deathbringer thing to him, so never mind.
And I will say, too, because we see, we know that he is talking to Maeve, and we know that she's saying, guard my child, and he's saying, we're going to guard her like she is our own, but he's been doing that up until this point. So do you guys feel that because there is that previous connection and his ideas, he says it, in this world, it's so easy for things to get miscommunicated. Do you think that that idea is going to play in later with a kind of a bigger ideal? Or do you think that this is something that they're just kind of teeing up to not necessarily circle back to, but just as an idea to throw out there?
You mean how, like, their interactions, when we finally see it from their perspective, they weren't trying to attack them the whole time? It was just like...
Right. Whereas maybe
it'd be nice
thinking
to see
was...
more, like, there's other scenarios that, like, we think it happened one way, and then it's like, just kidding, that person was doing it a different perspective. I don't know which ones I'd want to see that with, but that could definitely happen.
I think it always made sense. There had to be a reason. She was in a PG part of the park. There was no reason for the Ghost Nation to attack. So there's always some type of a question of why did it happen. So it's just another loose end being tied up. I appreciated it. It was nice that they came back and referred to it.
Now, it seems like because this was, as we've said, kind of a more digestible episode that is linear structure and is kind of cohesive throughout, and not as much plot-wise happened as has happened in some of the previous episodes, I think this is kind of setting up for something really big for these next couple episodes, since we're really coming to the end of the season.
I know.
This happened quickly.
Well, we basically got a whole second faction that is completely opposite of Dolores, where she is awoken in this forced, hacked way, and now she has... through force amassed her own also kind of awoken hosts to take over, and now we see that Akechita has been doing kind of the same thing but in a very different way, and just like we see Dolores killing humans without, you know, any second thought, we see the Ghost Nation saving humans. Even if you look at the most of Dolores' men are wearing like all black, and you see the Ghost Nation have a lot of white. So like there's clearly setting up, this is the kind of opposing force it seems like that they're going to go against. It's interesting that we're going to get this kind of host on host battle. And they both want the same thing, to exit through the door, but kind of through different means. So I think that's interesting.
Kind of hearkening back to the miscommunication.
Exactly.
Which is interesting, too, because Maeve set up earlier when we saw her encounter with Dolores, where she was saying, you know, you think your way is the only way to go about this, but we both are fighting the same side. So if you really are fighting for free will, then you'll give me the free will to go. So it's kind of neat to see that duality set up. And then, as you pointed out, kind of seeing it fleshed out and explored more all the way down to the costumes and seeing this, what seems to be foreshadowing for a pretty intense battle that, as long as those miscommunications can be stripped down, hopefully the sides can work together to achieve the same goal. But you never know with Westworld. They're tricky here.
We also got a peek at the door, too. Again, another glimpse at the valley beyond before it's flooded. I have no idea what it is, what that facility was, but I'll be staring at the pictures, trying to figure it out.
So we know a little bit about the key, we know a little bit about the door, but we don't know about how they interact or how exactly they're able to find this again, especially since it seems to have vanished and just become a desertscape when he goes to find it again.
But we definitely you saw the road and then just a hole when they went back to that area.
Yeah, when he goes to bring her back. That's what he said. He's like, the door seemed to have vanished, so it's just a road that then goes to nowhere, where it seems like, I guess, they had completed the rest of it.
I must have missed that part.
We need playback in here.
random, but tied to the valley, Soin Omiko said in the chat, said, did we see any Ghost Nation bodies in the lake, or was it all Team Dolores drowned?
I don't think so.
That is actually a really good question. I know we saw a lot of bodies, but
I don't think I noticed any.
I don't think I did either. I know there were some that were at the actual the luncheon or the event, but yeah, I don't think there were. I can't really remember, but I don't think there were any in the ravine. That's interesting.
Good theory. Mm.
So, because if there were, then that would probably signify some sort of battle potentially. Interesting. So before we move on, any final thoughts on this episode and how it maybe ties into what we've seen thus far this season, kind of getting this new perspective?
I think it just touches upon, like, different ways that the hosts can be awoken and just how they approach that. Like, how you're saying of the Seven Nation, the Ghost Nation is not as violent as they're perceived, and then maybe that would be the defense later against Dolores and her army. Could be.
I like that. Kind of talking about like the importance of concentrated violence, only using it when it's for actual tactical reasons.
I think the things that I was thinking about. I think we're definitely going to see a lot more with the mesh network. I mean, I think, you know, as we said kind of in the beginning of this, like, this episode answered a lot of questions that, like, in loose ends from season one and even throughout this season two. And, you know, in the last episode, we obviously saw, like, Bernard being conflicted with, like, Ford. And then also there's, like, a fan theory out there that, like, he might somehow be Teddy as well. If you think about it, he was in places in the facility and then also in, like, some of the worlds where, like, he was in places where Teddy was and he wasn't. So I don't know that – I don't believe that theory, but –
Nate's just shaking his
I know, he's over
head.
There he's like, no.
I guess
but I think the mesh network's going to bring up, like, you know, we're going to find out some more about it. I'm interested.
A question that's come up, what is the disease that the Men in Black spread?
I would say violence, just for no reason, is just an unconcentrated violence, because we show him going back and killing just for
the
boredom,
fun, yeah.
Basically, and just the idea of having non-tactical violence, just violence for the sake of feeling power from it, which I think is also kind of a cool idea. How they're saying how they want how the humans are trying to be more like the hosts, one for immortality reasons, but I think even more importantly is for the shared mesh network, this collective consciousness and this idea of being able to communicate on a deeper level, which is something that the humans don't even realize that that's what important than the immortality, because what they're striving for is immortality, but what could actually be more valuable for the hosts themselves now, because technically their sense of immortality has been taken away, is this idea of being able to strip past miscommunications.
But the hosts don't access the mesh network. Maeve is literally the only one.
Right, but I'm saying later on, like, if they're able to bring that in and to have this be a collective consciousness idea and to be able to spread it more like a blanket instead of a concentrated talking to one person.
Interesting.
Could potentially happen. We could see.
Anything could happen.
Now, we have seen, of course, they have a lot of philosophical ideas, deals in this show, but they also have a lot of Shakespearean elements. So last week we did a little bit of this game. We'll dive into it too. A little game called Don't Quote Me on That, where we're going to have a quote from Westworld that was actually originated in a Shakespearean play we'll go down here and try to guess which play it originated from. So, Alice, we'll kick off with you. Charlotte tells Lee, when Lee is talking about, when Sizemore's talking about his stories and everything, she says a pretty famous quote, "Brevity is the soul of wit." Is that from, we're going to give you a multiple choice here. Oh, God, Romeo and Juliet, Hamlet, or King Lear?
I honestly have no idea. I'm going to go with Hamlet.
Hey, ding, 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 ding. Correct, correct. That pretty classic quote is from Hamlet. Another pretty famous quote that this is kind of referring to the host consciousness here, but hell is empty and the devils are here. And this is either from Romeo and Juliet, Hamlet, or The Tempest.
Tempest.
Yes! Ding, ding, ding. That was when Prosper was... Yeah! Woo-hoo! When Prosper was trying to have the storm to scare off Ferdinand. And then, finally, when we are born, we cry that we are come to this, the great stage of fools. Abernathy says this quote at the party. Is this from King Lear, Romeo and Juliet, or Hamlet?
King Lear.
Yes! Look at that! Three for three! Team crushing it! If you guys catch any more of these Shakespearean quotes, or just quotes that you think are pretty interesting that you want us to delve into, be sure to comment. Let us know. We also want to know some more fan theories. We talked a little bit about a couple of them here. Did we have any more fan theories?
Well, I think Nate hates all the theories.
It's just a lot of theories were made before new information came out. Like that Bernard theory, I was on that train before Ford jumped in Bernard's head. Ford has plans.
Yeah.
Teddy's not going to be in Bernard's head. No.
Yeah,
sorry,
no, I agree.
Sorry. No.
Be careful getting on the train. Nothing good has happened for anybody hopping on that train, man.
And we already talked about William being a host, which... You know, most of us don't believe, but I'm still kind of...
What do you think about Emily being a host? Do you guys think Emily is a host?
We've said multiple times this season that they have not perfected the human consciousness to host process.
But do you think that Emily is not... That is this like isn't real Emily, that this is that what would, he thought that Ford that, made
that
this
That would
host.
Require... As all the work that they put into Bernard, the years and years of training and the fidelity... Like, no... No, she's not a host. She's a her. It doesn't make any sense.
It's
if that if they did if they were like, "Oh, she's a host." I'd be like, "Bullshit. Explain it to me." Cuz it doesn't make any sense.
Would that be as bad as somebody in the chat suggested that all of this is a story Bernard is reading to Charlie?
Yeah. If she's a host, then I hope
if
that that's
Prince
true.
If Prince is writing this to us right
like,
now,
no,
I'm going to be very
any story
upset.
Where they go, "Just kidding."
Well, and speaking of Charlie, the other theory is that Charlotte Hale is actually Bernard's daughter, and
I've heard this theory
that she
why
is either and then some the people were like she's either a really good actress or she never saw a picture of him.
Well the idea is that she's either too young to remember him or like somewhere along the way Ford had her like adopted or something and changed the memory to a boy so that he would never make the association. It's just there's a lot of qualifiers.
That Charlotte is Charlie, which would kind of make sense.
Yeah. But some people were like, it's too similar.
But she comes back to the company and has this huge position, which is not even like regular Delos. It's like secret, ultra top secret Delos. But she doesn't know about her dad being Arnold, who Bernard is.
I would like it just so I could say, what the hell?
Maybe.
But I think
that
some
one
people
is, that
are
one
just
is possible.
An easy one to be like, well, they kind of look alike. Like, why do we think so?
Well, and I think some people were like, she's
Charlie,
moved up so
Charlotte. Yeah.
It's possible that Ford, when he was making Bernard, that he changed the keystone memory to a boy because it didn't want it to be too much like him.
And she rose so quickly in the ranks into this,
Here's the problem with that theory. We've seen Arnold with Dolores talking about Charlie.
Yep.
True. Sorry, fan theory.
Yeah.
Fan theory squashed. But before it makes it look like we just aren't taking into account all of our fans' love, because we do absolutely love you guys. I think we have some shout-outs here just to some people in the chat. Yeah. Say thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much, everybody who chimes in live. And don't worry, if you can't watch it live, please comment down below. We got Zias Bilou, Davey Elmer, the programmer of video games. Nice long one there. Will Coy, Lock121, ABK88, and... If you have numbers, this makes it a little I'm not sure you want me to read it. 187 ICU, Leo Lima, and yeah, thank you. And Kevin Kozwolski. Thank you so much. I know there might be more of you in there too, but thank you very much, everybody, talking amongst yourselves and chiming into the show.
And thank you, everyone, that commented on last week's video as well.
Yeah. And also to everybody who gave us some of your predictions. And now I want to know some of your predictions.
We only have two episodes left. My goodness.
And now,
your AfterBuzz TV predictions. All right. So, yeah, since we are coming to the end of the season here, what are you guys thinking we're going to see in these last couple episodes? We saw a little teaser for next week. We know that we're going to get some more of William's backstory. We know his wife's tragic past. We see a little bit of that in this one.
I didn't
one,
see the
but
for next time, but good to know.
I didn't.
We watch it and then
we just see a bathtub overflowing and a hand and just some kind of ethereal voice and then him just holding a gun to his head, which we assume is not going to result in him actually shooting himself. But what do you guys think we're going to see these next couple episodes?
William finally die. No. That'd be kind of interesting, though, because it's like the whole time he's kind of been trying to die that, like...
So you think they'll finally kill Bill?
Could
be. Right.
I think you have some theories.
I just think I'm just excited to see the Valley Beyond. Like, there's I could say a million things, but I don't know. I think we're going to get a ghost town, a Dolores Ghost Nation versus
yes
a showdown. I like calling that a ghost down.
Let's not no reinforce that mistake.
Standoff. Yes, I definitely feel like there's some kind of big epic battle coming for sure. Yeah. And they've been answering our questions because with the show it's weird to make predictions because you're purposefully not given information yet, and it's like I want to wait till I get a little bit more, and they're slowly doing that. Like this one, it's like, hey, here's that info that you've been wondering about since like season one. So maybe it'll take a while, but we'll find out. I just want to see how they wrap it all up or how much they keep open.
Yeah. I don't know that I have a prediction, but I'm interested to see, like, what happens with Bernard because, like, he was just reset and he's been a little cray. So I'm not sure if he's going to keep on the kind of, like, helping out his human friends or if he's going to help out the hosts or if he's going to be with Ghost. You know, I'm just like, I don't know, but I'm interested to find out.
I can't wait until next episode, too. And it's kind of cool, too, that it seems like each of the episodes kind of tie into the next one. So having this one being called Kixua and being the Remember, I think Emily kind of talking about how she's going to try to make her dad suffer even more than they would have. I think it's probably going to be reliving these memories and these kind of tragic past that he's tried to bury by kind of sugarcoating his own life with Westworld and kind of trying to trivialize life and trivialize death through the random killings and seeing hopefully the errors in his ways. But having just that repeated phrase this episode too of take my heart with you when you go, I just want to see how that ties into the next couple episodes before we close out here. I just want to see, because that was a phrase that was echoed so many times, that's something I want to see. But we definitely want to see also what you guys think about all of these episodes so far and what you think is going to happen. So be sure to tweet at us, keep up with all of us here, give us those thumbs up, like, comment on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, and in the meantime where we can keep up with you guys.
What's up, guys? Nate Miller here. You can find me on all social media at Dog Like Nate.
And my name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And you can find me at Alice L. Ford on Twitter and at Alice's Adventures on Earth on everything else.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan, A-L-A-N-A-J-O-R-D-A-N, and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And you can find us all here next week. See you guys.
Bye.
from executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.